It's Thursday, March 16th, and top of the evening to you on this St. Patrick's Eve. The boys did not look too great tonight, but the Blues sure looked like they were poised to make a run for the playoffs. Welcome to this edition of Pucknology After Dark, following a 4-1 Blues victory over Team Teal. This is your interactive post-game show, and it is presented by Audible. We've partnered with them to provide a free 30-day trial where you can search up to 180,000 audiobooks and get to keep one for yourself, whether you continue using the service or not. Log on to audibletrial.com/PAD to sign up. You get a free book. You help support the show, and like the Blues, everybody wins. audibletrial.com/PAD. We are your interactive Sharks post-game show. Make sure you subscribe down below on your YouTube app or page. Also, make sure you hit up pucknology.net for all your latest news and opinions on our beloved Team Teal. And, of course, follow us on our social media channels. And that being said, make sure you interact with us. Use the hashtag on Twitter, PucknologyAD. You can also follow us on Twitter. Tonight you have yours truly, PuckGuy14, at IREPucknology, and at RBackhander76. You can also join us in the YouTube page or on the app. That being said, hello everyone. I am alongside Ian Reed.
Fire everyone.
That's the spirit. And we'll also say hello to Miss Rocket Backhander.
Hey.
All right. I know everybody's down, so the best way possible to cheer everybody up, puppy. No, didn't work. Oh, well, I tried.
Your puppy doesn't work on my Canadian angry circuits.
Well, then you know what? Tracky, get out there. Ready? There we go.
All right. I got a cat.
All right. So, Rocket, I'll start with you. Your initial take from tonight's game.
This was a really boring game to watch. I don't care who won and I don't care who lost. It was boring. It was so boring to watch. I know why it was boring, and that is a concern going forward down the stretch and into, you know, playoffs. But yeah, that's a different kettle of fish. This game was boring as fuck. Sharks didn't show up to play.
ZG Salt in the chat. The best way to cheer everyone up is say, at least I'm not an Avalanche fan.
Wow. Matt Nieto is from Long Beach, California.
There you go. Ian, what were your initial take from tonight?
Yeah, I kind of have to echo what Rocket said. Look, at these games against the Blues this year have pretty much all been kind of snoozers. As far as, you know, just because of the way the Blues play. It was kind of boring, and obviously the Sharks playing the way that they did, you know, not good. Didn't make it any more, you know, enjoyable than it could have been, I guess. I don't know. I never get up for these Blues games. Like, it's a good thing, like, I don't have school, because I would have gone to bed like an hour ago.
Yeah, you didn't want to get up for a Sharks Blues game. I don't think the Sharks really got going right away. So let's kind of break this down. Dell was in net, and Shark Killer himself, the backup, Carter Hutton, in for St. Louis, who entered tonight going 3-0-1 against the Sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. First period, Scotty Upshaw, unassisted at 16:40, made it 1-0. It's like the Sharks really were a little lackadaisical early on, and then you get that goal, you know, it's like, oh gosh, here we go. But then a minute five later, Mark Edward Vlasic takes a shot. It looked like it was going to be tipped by Ward, but it looks like it went off of a Blues skate for his fifth of the year, with DeMello and Couture getting assists to tie at 1-1. All right, after one period, no big deal, even though the Sharks were getting outshot 11-6 in the period.
Yep.
But hey, like there's been a bajillion, not a bajillion, but there's been, you know, well over 50 first periods that have started where the shots are, you know, like 11 to 23, but then by halfway through the second, it's 28 to 32. And the lower team is now on the higher end and the ones at 32 and they end about evenly. Like that's not a huge, I think what happened was somewhere in the second period, somewhere in like between minutes 2 and 3 of the second period, the Sharks for some reason lost their momentum or something. They just went flat and
they lost that loving feeling. And now it's gone.
Gone.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa. Yes.
second kind of night.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those games, unfortunately. Second period now, you have Zach Sanford off of a weird carom off the boards. And then he roofs it. I mean, it was a nice shot once he picked it off the boards to make it a 2-1. Let's kind of talk about Dell about tonight. I thought he had a pretty good game, but unfortunately just had a couple of bad breaks and definitely didn't get much goal support tonight.
Yeah, look, Aaron Dell is going to take crap now because, you know, there's going to be a bunch of people out there that, and you know who you are, and they're probably not in this chat, but whatever. F you guys anyway.
they're skulking wow. in the background.
They're you know skulking they around. No, look, at there's people that are like, oh, yeah, well, Dell's numbers are great, but he's never played a real team. He only pulls, you know, crappy teams. And they talked about this in the pregame, too. You know, and Curtis Brown was right. Like, you don't choose. The backup goalie doesn't choose who he plays. He just goes and does his job. You know, so obviously they're going to say, look, you know, if Aaron Dell has to come in the playoffs, we're screwed. Spoiler alert, if Aaron Dell is playing in the playoffs, we are screwed. Like, that just goes without saying, whether, you know, Aaron Dell is, you know, this longtime veteran backup or whatever. Like, if it's not Martin Jones in net, we're screwed. And I think that goes without saying. So, you know, some people are going to be like, okay, well, you know, we can't beat playoff teams. Well, okay, but the team didn't play in front of them. I mean, the shots on goal, the differential in the shots on goal are ridiculous, in my opinion. You know, he was facing all the shots. He was doing all the work. And there was times where he just put the puck out there, and people are going to judge that too, where, you know, he put the puck up, and because Vlasic was dragging ass, he had to go and chip it back out even further because Vlasic didn't have hustle to come take the puck and go with it. It's ridiculous. The whole game was ridiculous, and I think that Dell was fine. If your takeaway from this game is Dell was bad and we lost, then you probably don't understand the game very well, and I'm not in the mood to tell you otherwise.
my favorite flavor of maple syrup is salty.
Apparently. Wow.
He's absolutely right, though.
It's very true. It's very true. There was also the fight in the second period where you had Haley go at it with Reeves, although I think it was Reeves that kind of stepped on a stick and both of them went down afterwards, which
kind of scary.
Yeah,
that could have been a lot worse than what it was, unfortunately.
I mean, at least like Haley mostly did like a somersault, but like we saw what happened. It kind of reminded me of when Peros went down and he was never the same after that. You know, if Haley didn't tuck his head, I mean, he would have been jaw first into the ice and that would have been it.
Yeah. And it could have been really devastating. Although some people would say, oh, Haley's hurt. Well, good. Now we can bring in a skill player now.
So I have a question, actually. I'm sorry, but I do have a question. How is it that, like, you know, San Jose has been really, really good about offensive production, especially in the last 3-4 games. It just feels like they kind of adjusted their game. And then tonight, to see it completely dissipate, what does St. Louis do differently that counteracts San Jose's offense that the other teams just aren't able to match?
I think we saw it at the end of the game where, you know, the St. Louis Blues, when they want to lock it down, they've got four guys back and, you know, and one guy up. And that's, you know, for the Sharks again, the St. Louis has some speed still. And when you look at the Sharks, the one thing that they struggle with is if you force them to make plays, if you let them pass it around, they'll probably burn you. Unless it's the power play, then they'll never burn you. But if you let them, if you let them make choices and pass it around, they're generally going to burn you. But if you can get in their face right away without letting them get set up and establish their forecheck, they're useless.
Yeah. And you hit it right on the head. And in speaking of things that was useless, let's talk about the power play. 0-for-2 tonight.
What can we say about the power play that we haven't said 100 times already? It was bad.
And
there's no power and there's no play. It's drudging work.
Powerless play.
I mean, I've never seen a team that's like first in the division have such a porous power play. When I was writing up the pregame for today, I couldn't believe that it was at 25th in the league now. I can't believe it. While AJ goes gets his drum, I'm hitting it for you, bud.
Yeah, I still want to get one of those little drums from the Karate Kid too and just paint it teal.
At the end of the day, though, it's like it's frustrating because, like, what is there really to say about the power play at this point? I think that's the frustrating part, is because, yeah, I mean, and I know we like to beat dead horses and drums and everything else, but I don't know what's left to say about it at this point that's even remotely interesting or insightful.
Yeah, no, it's bad, and they should feel bad.
Right.
That's it. That's it.
But the problem is that they should have felt bad months ago, and it's still not rectified.
Whatever.
But to go with the third period, it was a little bit of the Tarasenko show, where they scored on their lone power play of the night. His 33rd of the season from Steen and Pietrangelo to make it 3-1. That was kind of the backbreaker, and you were into teaser goal time, but the Sharks didn't even get a teaser goal. Instead, Tarasenko buries the empty netter at 18-10. That does it for you. You have a 4-1 Sharks loss. Dylan DeMello, one thing that they mentioned on the broadcast, had a point tonight, his third straight game with a point. DeMello's played pretty well considering Schlemko's been out. For what, 7 games? I mean, he's been really solid, I thought. Rocket. He's
everybody in the defense got over 10 minutes tonight, didn't they? I think so.
Yes. Everybody got at least 16 minutes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned this on before we were going on the air. Braun at 16:56 was the lowest in the defense, which is very interesting. DeMello got...
Him and Vlasic were awful tonight.
Yeah, they looked like a little... Just it's like AJ would say, just a scooch of a tire fire. But yeah, that's interesting. And I saw a lot of...
You know what this is? I know exactly what this is. I know why they had a bad game. They sat down like a bunch of dummies and watched the season finale of This Is Us. And then they went out there and tried to play this game.
There we go, folks.
PMZ.
My goodness. Kevin Lacey in the chat. Sharks have no choice but to retool the offense, whether they're scoring or not.
Sleepy Mofo says PDB has to change the mindset that Jumbo can still play on that first unit. I happen to agree with them.
Yeah. Let's see here. Chris, they need to do something extreme. And I always preach patience. Yeah.
Do they have extreme patience? Is that what they expect us to have, is extreme patience? Like, they're not going to get it together until game 81 of the season?
No, extreme patience would be Canucks fans going through the rebuild right now.
Or Detroit finally embracing the rebuild.
Yeah, that's true, too. Let's see. What did Dell do tonight? He stopped 32 of 35 for a 914 save percentage in this game. He still had good numbers. It's just the rough outing in the offensive support wasn't there. And you're in mid-March. Is there just a tad bit concerned here offensively? I'll start with you, Ian.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I'm not, like, I don't think we need to, like, we don't need to run around like the world's on fire. Like, let's not get carried away. I think that's the one thing I'm going to start this by saying is the world's not on fire. Everyone needs to probably step off the ledge just a touch. But that being said, secondary scoring is an issue with this team. It's been an issue with this team all year. When the top line gets shut down, you need guys that can step in and score. And tonight you saw them breaking up the lines. They sent Hansen down to the third line. They moved Hurdle back up to the top line again. But I don't know. I feel like this is secondary scoring is going to be this team's undoing in the playoffs. If there's an undoing to be had, it's going to be a special team. It's not going to be Michael Haley. It's going to be special teams, and it's going to be secondary scoring.
What says you, Miss Backhander?
I concur. It's not time to panic just yet. I mean, it would be sort of time to panic if, say, you know, finishing first in the division were a huge deal and everybody were focused on finishing regular season first, you know, but it's not at this point. I know that there's different positions you want to have in order to take certain matchups with other teams and, you know, in the postseason, but that's not something that we should be concerned with. That's far too far ahead in the future. There could be things happen between then and now, plane crashes, meteor strikes, locust plagues. You know, locust it's plagues. Happened. Sure. Yeah. Great Indiana locust plague of 76. Sure. Why not? And I this was a crap game, but I also think that games like this are huge learning opportunities for both the players and coaching to take a look at what their big weaknesses are now that they've been exposed and to see if there's anything in the system that they can use to counter that. Hopefully they can spin gold out of poo because that's what they have to do.
Hey, if they can spin gold out of poo, then good for you.
That's sort of Doug's job.
Right. Postgame Live just ended already, so we'd like to welcome those of you who are watching the CSN postgame to Technology After Dark. Make sure you subscribe down below. We do this after each and every single Sharks game, home and away, regular season, postseason. And hit us up also on our social media channels. So, Sharks are, what, 3-2 on this homestand. You know, they've lost two out of their last three. I mean, it's been a decent homestand. They've had hiccups with Nashville and St. Louis. I mean, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde. They looked really good against Dallas. Then again, everybody looks good against Dallas, except if you're Vancouver. So far through five games in this homestand, you're 3-2. Ian, what do you think before these guys go on some crazy back-to-backs on the road?
Mm-hmm.
What would you take so far from this homestand? Because, like I said, it's been up and down through the first five, and now you have another big game on Saturday.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's one game. I think this is the thing that we do sometimes where we get on and it's a crappy game. Well, obviously, we're right in the moment. Like, it's raw because we're coming on. We're talking immediately after the game's over. But it's a bad game. I don't think there's any more to put into it than that. Was it good? No. But, they'll be fine. The homestand's been good.
It's sort of like if you're going on a date with a guy or a girl or a person, whatever, another person in the same species, and, you have a good time with them and you have a good time with them and you go out again and you have a good time and you go out again and you have a good time. And you're like, okay, pattern of good time. And then you go out and things are just weird and awkward and kind of just not cool. And then you go home and you kind of have to think about it. It's like, well, that was kind of weird, but we've had fun every other time. So maybe it was just a one-time thing, You got to kind of take it in context. I am in a full-time relationship with NHL hockey, basically. Yeah.
Well, I hope hockey treats you well.
I'll go after it.
Yes, we will.
Oh, God. I don't need Canadians going after hockey on my behalf.
Well, if it doesn't treat you well, I'm going after it.
That's right. To quickly recap the homestand, since we were talking about it, beat the Caps 4-2, lose to the Preds 3-1, beat Dallas 5-1, beat Buffalo 4-1, lose to St. Louis 4-1.
Womp womp.
So yeah.
Look, you beat the best, probably the best team in the league right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You lost to Nashville. That sucks. You beat Dallas. Well, you should beat Dallas. You beat Buffalo. You should beat Buffalo.
But the record against Buffalo has been historically
not good. But they're a team that they're still a team you should beat.
Right.
Regardless of curses or hexes or,
I'm not saying there's any
sort of underwear.
I'm not saying there's any sort of supernatural influence. I'm only presenting the numbers.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, it's an established fact that this is a team that generally has the Sharks number. Yeah. We'll lose to the Blues tonight, but I mean, I'm looking at these games. I mean, you've won how many this month? You've won more than you've lost. It's not like they've been when they've been on. They've looked good. They haven't looked like they didn't look bad against the Capitals. They took care of business. They looked really good in that Dallas game. Yeah, it's Dallas. I thought they looked good against the Jets. They looked okay against Minnesota, even though they lost. Like, it wasn't a great game, but I don't know. I'm not worried. Like, it's a bad game.
Yeah. They're 6-2 in the month of March.
Right.
That's pretty much halfway through the month of death.
And we're halfway through. And this month is we've already talked about it. It's the gauntlet from hell. They're playing a bajillion games in a few nights. And, it's going to be a rough push to the end, but look at St. Louis. I hate to say that. I hate this. And it's not really an excuse, but I hate it. And St. Louis had a lot more to play for tonight. The Sharks are, 7 points ahead of the Ducks still?
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, look at the Blues are fighting for their playoff lives. Whereas the Sharks, they're going. They know they're going. It's not like they're going to fall out of the playoffs suddenly in the last 3 weeks of the season.
No, it would take an absolute collapse for them to miss now.
Contagion. They would have to get Spanish influenza, mumps, and I don't know. Crash. Yeah, and a plane crash.
They'd have to physically not be able to play to miss the playoffs.
Somali Pirates.
Somali Pirates.
Come and take them. And they can't play.
Yeah, it's like Sleepy Mofo in the chat. Sounds like fatigue or the Sharks were looking forward to partying in a for St. Paddy's Day at ISO Beers.
Yeah, but there's so many guys on the team that have kids, though. Seriously,
exactly.
There's more dads than not, you guys. We have the dad bod squad in San Jose.
Hashtag it.
The dad bod squad. Yeah. So, if anything, they're trying to go home or go to the store late last minute to get stuff to have to send with their kid to school. Because the kid didn't tell him until today. So kids are.
Nice. All right. Let's go around the league. We had 12 games on the docket tonight. A lot of hockey. The New Jersey Devils ended 10-game winless streak by rocking their retro St. Paddy's uniforms by beating the Flyers in a huge loss for the Flyers. 6-2 was the final there. In Brooklyn, the Winnipeg Jets are clinging on to dear life with a 4-2 win over the Islanders. That one hurts the Fishermen.
Yeah, going back to the Flyers, I mean, you can pretty much stick a fork in them at this point. I think they're done. I don't think they're going to be able to catch up. I think it's a three-horse race for that last wild card spot in the East between Toronto, the Islanders, and the Lightning. Other than that, you can stick a fork in the Flyers at this point, I think.
Some nice, fresh, roasted cheesesteaks coming your way.
Butchers of Broad Street have bitten the dust.
Ouch. No bueno. In Washington tonight, you had the Predators in overtime beat the Caps 2-1.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
Predators, so again, there's another team that's, you know, got a lot more to play for than the team they're playing.
Exactly. Although Washington hasn't wrapped up anything yet either.
No, but they're not going to miss. I mean, yes, they haven't wrapped up the division, but they still got a decent lead. Whereas Nashville's trying to hell to stay out of that wild card spot. Because I think if you're Nashville, Minnesota's the team you want to draw. You certainly don't want to draw the Sharks or Chicago.
Right. Absolutely. In Carolina, see, this is what happens when Drew comes back. Carolina 3, Minnesota 1. That's a huge loss for the Wild.
Yeah, man. Wild are losers of 3 straight now.
Wow.
I'm not sure who was in net. I'm thinking Eddie lacked this bitch.
I don't know. It's fine.
While he does that, Columbus with a big win over the Panthers 2-1.
Yeah, Panthers are done too.
Yeah, Panthers.
Now they're game over, man. Game over, man.
So are they going to change their goal song to Soft Kitty? The Florida Panthers.
Oh.
Eddie Lack was in that tonight.
So the Eddie Lack this bitch. Nice.
Right.
In your nation's capital, the Blackhawks beat the Sens 2-1. With a late power play goal by Panic.
Yeah, Senators, I mean, that's an interesting team, the Senators. I mean, that's a whole just garbage division in general. But, I look at Senators, they're not a great – I don't think they're a great team. And I think that just that the fact that they were leading and now they're in second, I think is just a testament to how bad that division is. I mean, in perspective, the lead team in that division is Montreal. They only have 86 points.
Oy.
And this is why people get mad at the playoff thing, because the Rangers, who have 90 points, are going to have to play probably Washington, or they'll play, Rangers might get to play Montreal. So maybe, you know, they'll play Montreal, Ottawa, they're going to be okay. But, you know, whereas a team like Columbus and Pittsburgh are going to eliminate one another, they have 96 and 95 points respectively. Like it's just silly the way that this goes, that three teams are shoo-ins for the playoffs and then the Rangers have to fight for a wild card spot with 90 points. It's stupid.
So is it pretty much a given that Pittsburgh is going to play Columbus?
It's looking that way right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a given because Pittsburgh and Columbus are the 2 points and 3 points. Columbus is 2 points and Pittsburgh's only 3 points behind the Caps. So, and they both have games in hand. So it's not a complete given, but if the playoffs started today.
Moving onward, it was the Toronto Bay Maple Bolts scrimmage. With the Tampa Bay Lightning rocking their LA Kings third jerseys to make sure that we could tell the difference as to which team was which.
Right.
Toronto 5, Tampa Bay nothing. And I believe Austin Matthews still did not get a point in that game either.
These silly things that we say on here.
Hey, I picked that up from TSN 1050, so talk to them.
All right. Yes, no, Austin Matthews was not on the point thing. However, we get goals from. Wow, yeah, just nobody. 5 goals, eh? Nice. Morgan Riley, Roman Pollock.
Yeah, Roman Pollock with the game-winning goal.
Connor Brown, Matt Martin, and James Van Riemsdyk are your goal scorers.
Kudos to you, Roman Pollock. Door.
The crazy game of the night, I think, would be in Edmonton, where it was 4-2 Boston, I think, after one period. And Edmonton reeled off 7 goals to beat them beat the Bruins 7-4. Marchand had another goal to add on to his league leading goal scoring machine. And that's a huge one for Edmonton. And we'll talk about the line.
3 assists for McDavid. I think on the night, I think they've scored 14 goals in their last 2 games. Like, they're just silly.
Yep. Yeah, because they beat the Stars 7-1. And speaking of the Dallas Stars, how they've been falling apart. I mean, you have to suck in order to lose to Dallas Stars. Oh, wait, the Vancouver Canucks did. 4-2 the final there. I believe Nemo was the guy in net tonight. But
the whole time?
I would hope so. Let me make sure let's see here. Was it Nemo? Team stats. It was Kari Lehtinen, my bad.
And he
had 26 of 28, played the full game.
Hmm.
So it was a rare night.
Look at Vancouver is pretty toothless at this point. You know, Dallas is Dallas. Like, these teams, like, they're just, I don't know. They're just playing for pride at this point. There's nothing to play for.
Yeah, and for that matter, the the Canucks are starting to bring out some youngsters in. They'll be
absolutely.
That'll be a very interesting offseason for them. So, Detroit 5, Arizona 4 in a shootout. So, the tanking is not completely on for the Red Wings. Let's see.
If you wind up in a 1-goal match against Arizona. Oh, the tank is still very much on.
And also ending around the same time we did, Los Angeles 2, Buffalo nothing. So the Kings get some help, although...
No, they don't really.
They don't really, of course.
They get no help.
So with that...
No help because we suck, so... Are sucking. That's the only silver lining of this entire game is that we hurt LA by sucking.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Maybe that was the whole goal.
Right.
Strategically. Okay. So here's the options, boys. We win this game and go forward, or we lose this game and we just stick it to LA.
They're like, all right, we could do that.
Yeah.
So we'll take a look at the standings now. First in the Pacific. Sharks still at 91. Anaheim was idle. They'll play tomorrow. Edmonton's win puts them back in a number 3 spot in the Pacific at 83 points. Calgary slips down to the first wild card. LA at 75. And Vancouver and the Desert Dogs clinging on by toenail. Moving on, we're to the Western Conference playoff race. So we talk about the Pacific. Those are the top 3 teams, San Jose, Anaheim, Edmonton. In the Central, you have the Hawks now with their win combined with the Wild loss to the Hurricanes pick up some ground now. They have a 3-point lead, although Minnesota still has a game in hand. Nashville goes to 81, so that helps them bridge open up a little bit of a lead. As St. Louis now is within striking distance of Nashville at 79 points with 12 to play. Calgary goes to 82. They're the first wild card, and they would be the Sharks' first round opponent if the season ended today.
Hmm.
LA with their victory goes to 75. Winnipeg with their victory goes to 69. 69!
It's hilarious! Dallas, which, if I understand correctly, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Goon 2 hits theaters in Canada tomorrow, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
You lucky hosers up there.
Just wanted to plug that for you.
Ian, we expect a review of that on Saturday's After Dark or on Sunday's Writer's Room.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have no money.
If anybody wants to donate money so Ian can go see Goon in Canadian theaters.
I'm going to see Logan first if I see anything in the theater. Thanks.
If anybody wants to donate money for Ian to go see Logan and Goon, make it a double feature. We'll throw in the popcorn too.
camera download. Yeah, you know what? For Goon, I might do that. Skylar Greenberg in the chat. Any info on Sutter gets fired? It's hard. I mean, Sutter, I think, can leave anytime he wants at this point. I think he might, you know, he could walk away, to be completely honest. I don't know if he gets... If he gets canned, though, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to really put it on the coach when the team does, you know, when you can't get goals from guys that you're supposed to be able to get goals from. I don't know how much of that's on the coach and, you know, Jonathan Quick getting injured like he did. I think, honestly, Sutter, I think he stays there as long as he wants. I mean, they might let him go, but I don't think it's a given. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't call it a given. That's all. I don't think it's a for sure going to happen thing. Would it surprise me? No, but I don't think it's a for sure thing.
Yeah. AHL scoreboard, Kevin Lacey is requesting... according to the AHL Game Center site, there were no games tonight.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night.
So Kevin, okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
wow.
Well, no, here, I'll show you. You say, AHL scoreboard. I'm like, no.
The scoreboard you requested is no longer available. Yes. Please try again.
But speaking of the easiest segment ever, Eric, thanks. You nailed it. if anything, Ian, can you explain what the Barracuda need to do to clinch a playoff spot?
They need to win tomorrow, and I can't remember who needs to lose.
Was someone it,
needs
like, to Stockton? Lose.
They need to win. Yeah. Shit, what is it? Let me go look, because I'm, you know, I had this up a minute ago, and I'm so tired. Yeah, so they're going to play a back-to-back against the Stockton Heat this weekend. It's in my Twitter feed somewhere. If they win in regulation, and I believe someone else loses, could be it's not Stockton because they're playing Stockton.
So no, yeah, I got it from Frenzy. So okay. A regulation win against Stockton or an OT win against Stockton and a Bakersfield loss of any kind, or a shootout win versus Stockton and a Bakersfield regulation loss.
There you go.
So those are your three scenarios for the Barracuda to clinch their second consecutive playoff berth.
How just exciting.
Just to make sure the ice is even more weird.
How are they going to do against the Eastern teams, do you think?
Well, the benefit is they won't have to play any of the Eastern teams until later, but I think they can hold their own with most of the teams in there. I think the Penguins, the baby Penguins would scare me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They would scare me a lot. Baby Penguins would scare me a lot. Other than that, though, I'm not really too concerned about the Eastern Conference teams. I think that getting into the Calder Cup final is going to be the real test, I think, because you're probably going to face Grand Rapids or Norfolk. Now, we beat both of those teams on every time we've played them so far, if I remember correctly. But still, I mean, you know, a one-off game versus a seven-game series is it's, you know, it's yeah. a totally different animal.
I was at that Grand Rapids game, and it was, you know, it wasn't too terribly like challenging. Mm-hmm. I would say.
Was it Norfolk? I don't know. Let me go in. See, no.
No, speaking of the Heat,
no, I thought it was Wilkes-Barre.
No, Wilkes-Barre for sure is the Baby Penguins, and, yeah. and then he's and but he's but I'm he's getting saying Norfolk. He's saying Norfolk. Why am I afraid of Norfolk? And maybe it's not Norfolk I'm afraid of. No, I'm gonna look at
Norfolk's in the ECHL now.
No, Norfolk's in the ECHL.
Yeah, because remember that's where Norfolk came, and they moved to San Diego to become the Gulls.
Hmm. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of something. Look at, you know what? Leave me alone. Just everyone go away.
Good night, everyone.
All like right.
I hate yes. everyone.
Yeah. Okay. While Ian hates everyone.
I hate everyone. Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking the Admirals, but they're in the Central. sorry.
It's okay.
It's all right. We'll let it slide. It'll be okay.
But no, Baby Penguins scare me. Syracuse might be a little bit scary too, just because they play a heavy style. You know what? The Barracuda, though, I mean, the Barracuda are primed to do well. The sky's the limit for this Barracuda team, in my opinion, barring injury.
It's a lot of talent.
Yeah. Fuck. AJ's a little jealous of what the Stockton Heat are doing with the first 1,000 fans getting a free jersey.
Yeah, but how many free jerseys have we gotten from SAP Center?
That's true. I mean, come on. We've gotten the Warriors. We've gotten the Los Tiburones.
And the Giants.
And the Giants mashup jersey.
Yeah. And that's just this season alone.
Yeah. And yeah, poor Ian just freaked out like some baby pants just walked into his room. Or like that BBC commenter. The other night that went viral. Geez. But Barracuda play tomorrow night.
Yep.
Tickets still available. Jump on that. Come on. Of course. I was trying to be nice.
Well, oh, I'm not.
Rob Aben in the chat. He says, fact or fiction, Reno will land an AHL team. You know, that's not a bad place for an AHL team to land.
That would be a great spot. Although, I'm not sure
if they have a rim.
There's an arena up there, but I'm not sure if it can fit a hockey rink up there.
Well, I'm
the kids are gone, Kev. They're not here.
UNR is there, so I'm pretty sure, you know, they have a hockey team. They might, I would imagine. They should.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yeah. There was one thing in Twitter that we were talking about with Mike and a couple other I think it was Richard Davalos. KMBR is doing this little legends bracket, and they had quote unquote 64 of the best legends of the Bay Area, and man, there are some guys on here that I'm scratching my head and saying, really? 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 Like, they put... Whoa. What the heck was that?
Sorry.
All good. they have Joe Thornton in the 12th seed against Bruce Bochy. They have Jeff Kent as a number 3 seed against Owen Nolan. Let's see. Where is the other one? And they have the 15 seed Patrick Marleau against the number 2 seed Patrick Willis. What's funny is that in the same bracket they have Garrison Hurst, who's only known for like one run in overtime in one game, ranked higher. They also have Tim Hudson ranked higher.
Yes, AJ, we really are talking about that lame-ass KNBR bracket.
Yes, we are. Bite me. What's funny is that they ranked Stephen Jenks in 9th and Patrick Marleau's 15th. What in the holy hell? Who the heck did this? I have no idea, but it's Mayor Wrongville wrong.
No.
Well, since most of those, I'd say like 99% of the references are not hockey, and I have no idea who any of those people are, that just all went one ear in ear and straight out the other. All I heard was Canadian geese flying overhead and the faint tap of a hockey stick on a sheet of ice in the distance. I'm pretty sure everybody in the chat heard the same thing.
Yeah, it's like it's dumb. Like it is what it is. Hockey's, you know, look at this is your post game show.
It's just your, well, yeah, and that's the other thing. Your post game show's here and not on a sports station, so that should tell you how much respect this team gets. But we're here after every game.
Hey, but we get to say all the naughty words like shit.
Yes, we aren't ruled by the FCC.
You know, not yet.
Yeah, not yet. That's for sure. So moving on to Saturday against the Mighty Sucks of Quackenheim. Ian, what are you expecting?
I'm expecting a good game, man. Sharks, Ducks are always good games. So I'm excited, and it might be, you know, it might actually draw my attention away from the Stockton Barracuda game, which there's been weekend games where the Barracuda game's definitely been more interesting. So.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Yeah. That's
Ew. If the Sharks win the cup, maybe we'll be up to Earthquakes respect.
Oh, damn. No, Sabercats. We might get some Sabercats level media.
I was going to say, Earthquakes like soccer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, soccer's always going to get more love than we'll ever get.
And the Quakes are now on KMBR, by the way. Anywho, Rocket, what are you looking forward to against Anaheim?
I'm looking forward to winning. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And these are good games. I just get a little anxious, especially down the stretch of these last, what is it? We have 10 games, 12 games, something like that. 12 games. Because I don't want anyone to get injured on this team or on the Ducks or, I don't want these early season ending injuries to happen, especially in, and I just, so I'm hoping to see some aggressive, nasty playoff style hockey that doesn't take anybody's knees, head or shoulders or toes out. Yeah.
Should be an awesome game.
Hope so.
It'll be an awesomer post game. So make sure you subscribe down below or to the side. Make sure you hit up technology.net for all your Shark stuff. If you missed anything tonight, you can also get us on the audio stream, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, MySpace, Tumblr, Adult Friend Finder. We're all there. Yeah, final thoughts. We'll go with Rocket as we get out of here.
My final thoughts are Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. It means no worries for the rest of your days. Just calm down. Go get a drink of water. Brush your teeth. Go look at the hashtag Sabres After Dark. if you really want to get a good look at a miserable fan base, and I don't mean like they're just miserable human beings. I mean like they are really miserable, and I commiserate with them. And this hashtag is just, go check it out. It's glorious. You'll see what I mean. Eric?
All right. Thank you. And Mr. Reed?
Well, sticking with the Lion King theme and the Ducks game coming up, my theme song is Be Prepared.
Wow.
And yeah, no, it's fine. Whatever. It's whatever.
Hey, do you want to keep singing, Ian? Come on now.
No, I'm good. Lying son. What? Sleepy, what the hell?
No, you can leave the chat now, Sleepy. Sorry. Uh-uh.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay, I can't work under these conditions.
Oh, no. We better get out of here because Ian's about to go off on Disney movies after that.
I'm going on Tinder for more Disney movies.
Wow. All right. With that, let's get out of here. For Rocket and Ian and everybody else, you have a wonderful night. We will see you after Saturday night's game. Until then, keep it real. Keep it tight. Keep it real tight. And we'll see you then. Good night, everyone.